I've always spent time on defeating the number one destroyer of joy, and today our subject is destroying the number two. There are four altogether. I wouldn't miss any of them if I were you. We understand that joy is the spiritual, mental, and emotional condition of a person that's not dependent on the circumstances around us, whether good or bad. On the other hand, happiness is a momentary elation caused by some perceived benefit. And we got it and it was great and doesn't last. But joy is not like happiness can blow away. You can get happiness for 25 cents or $25, but not joy. Joy is a mental, emotional, and spiritual condition of a person, internal. And it doesn't matter what's going on around us, we can have joy. Now, just to review for a few moments, because most of us focus our attention on the worst parts of our life. And no wonder there's depression. No wonder there's discouragement. No wonder there's drug pursuits. Because our thinking, our emotions, our minds are captivated by things that have gone wrong. And I gave you, unless we see ourselves, or we at least tend to see ourselves through our deficiencies, our dysfunctions, our pathologies, our addictions, our learning disabilities, our personal tragedies, our ill treatments, how people have treated us, and abuses that have occurred, and mistakes that have occurred, and weaknesses, and future failures, rather, and sins. And so all of these things all piled up together, and now we have this mental, emotional condition. And it tends to destroy our identity at the most rudimentary level. So something must be done in order to recover. And so, good news, God understands the predicament, and he wants to help us overcome it. Because what we're really living in right now is the consequences of things that have already occurred, what's already been done to us. And so we have this line that represents our time, and there's our past, and there's our today. And what happened is there was a whole lot of this stuff that we just mentioned happened in the past. And the problem is that it tends to go on into the future, to affect us today. And consequently, none of us would survive unless something drastic could be done to salvage us from this condition. So the dark things of the past now live in our present and tend to create our identity. So now comes Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Now comes, you know why they call him the Savior? Because he knows how to save. They call him Redeemer because he knows how to redeem. There's nothing broke he can't fix. Have you got that straight? There's nothing broke he can't fix. There's no sin so bad he can't forgive. There's no multitude of sins, so many that you pass the redemptive capability of this wonderful Savior. My. So he comes to stop the past from damaging the present. Like we mentioned, the law of gravity is a law. But the law of aerodynamics overcomes that. And so the laws of Calvary supersede the laws of reaping what we sowed. These dark realities are forgiven and cleansed. Removed by Christ, they disappear. How do we know that? Because if anybody be in Christ, he's a new creature, and old things pass away. And not only that, but all things are become new. Isn't this wonderful? So redemption, Jesus Christ, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sin, condemned sin in the flesh. He took care of business for you and for me to make the past non-effective in our present, and in addition to bring newness of life in the future. Now, the scriptural term for this is called being born again. And there used to be a bumper sticker that said, if being born hasn't given you much satisfaction, try being born again. I think that was pretty good advice. Because everything becomes new. Everything becomes new. So Scripture says that by Him we have access by faith. So here's what happens. We have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Watch here now. Grace. Oh, grace. Grace starts to happen. I know they have said it stands for great riches at Christ's expense. I don't object to that definition particularly. But grace is the unmerited power of God in us. Maybe you should catch this in your notes. Grace is the unmerited activity of God in us. Watch this now. Delivering us from sin to and making us like the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace is the unmerited activity of God in you, delivering you from all known sin and progressively making you like the Lord Jesus Christ. So this grace keeps coming. And we stand in this and we rejoice. We rejoice now. Before, discouraged, depression, now rejoicing. Why? Because the old has passed away and everything has become new. Now, that's about the shortest review I've ever given. So you should say thank you, Pastor. But here's what I want you to grasp. There is another destroyer of joy. In fact, there are three more. The one we're going to deal with one of them today. This destroyer is a function of the past, and it consists. Let's go past the definition. Well, let's do this one. You need to get this one in your notes. Joy is the exaltation of my inward spirit that comes from genuine harmony with God. How do we get the genuine harmony with God? We just went through the review for that. But it also includes harmony with others. So here we got harmony with God. Okay? The number one destroyer, which is the law of sowing and reaping, has been wiped out by the laws of Calvary, and now we stand and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. But this new destroyer, this new destroyer. Remember, joy is the exaltation of my inward spirit that comes from genuine harmony with God, but it also is with others. Now, here is the kicker. Number one was reaping what we sowed. And reaping what other people have sowed into our lives. That was overcome by the laws of Calvary. Number two is the consequences of unresolved relationships of the past. So vertically, everything's cool, wonderful. We've got the grace of God working. But we're living with the conflicts that we had with other people on this horizontal level from the past. It consists of what others have done against me. Watch here now. They did this. You notice the black here, it's gone because the old stuff is gone. But this new stuff we're dealing with is what others have done against me. And it tends, what they've done against me, to come into the today and into the future. It impacts us. It's what others have done against me. Let's look at a couple of scriptures about this. Those with which I was wounded. Wow. I was wounded in the house of my friends. Yo. Jesus said of man's foes shall be those of his own household. Watch this, because David experienced this. It was not an enemy that did me bad. Watch now. It was not an enemy that reproached me, because I could handle that. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me, because then I would have hid myself from him. Watch it now. But it was thou, a man of my equal. Watch this now. David was damaged by somebody equal, a comrade. In fact, someone who was his advisor, his guide, a pastor, a minister, a counselor, someone with whom he was well acquainted. We took sweet counsel together, and we had lots of conversations, and we walked to the house of God. We attended the same church, and he wounded me. And so, here's what's happened. You've been abused. Oh, and this word should be in capital letters. Mocked. Scorned. Ignored. Disrespected. Lied to. Cheated on. Stolen from. Taken advantage of. Hurt. Damaged. Deserted. I wish none of these had ever happened to you. Often, the damage has occurred by those who were closest to us. Adjacent in our lives. You see, the first defeater of destroyer number one, reaping what you sowed and what people have been dealt with by God. But now we live with this history of hurt, damage, disappointment, heartache. So destroyer number two, watch this now closely, is what others have done against me that causes me to be bitter, angry, resentful, and vengeful. Can't get that out of my mind. You drive down the street and who are you thinking of? You lay down at night. Who accompanies you there? You hear their voices. You see the pictures. You feel the hurt. You feel the consequences. And here's the problem, my friends. Joy is destroyed because of the damage that people have done to us can last a lifetime. There are things going on in our culture that are staggering to any reasonable thinking, moral person. The sex trafficking, can you imagine? Sexual abuse of parents with their own children. Repeated. You know, the scripture says, a spirit of a man can maintain his frailties. But a wounded spirit, who can bear? Spirit of man will makes him capable of his infirmities, physical, whatever. He can do that. But a wounded spirit, years later, still reaping, still damaged, still hurt. And wounded people tend to wound others. Joy cannot exist in this condition. Now watch. Because I want you to look at the screen, the intelligence monitor, one more time, and notice the process here. Bitterness turns to anger. Anger turns to resentment. Resentment turns to wanting to lash back, get even. And this bitterness thing over what people have done to us in the past prevents a joyful condition in us now. The destroyer number two of joy is bitterness. Now here's a well-known verse, so let's take a look at it. Looking diligently. Now this means heads up. Don't miss this. Look diligently. Now watch this. Lest any man fail of the grace of God. Watch it now. Lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you. Watch. Because it not only troubles us, the destroyer of joy, but by it many others are defiled. Let me give you J.D. Phillips' translation. Be careful that none of you fails to respond to the grace which God gives. For if he does, there can very easily spring up in him a bitter spirit, which is not only bad in itself, but it can poison the lives of many others. So watch this now. This is the condition in the present, this bitterness over what people did to us in the past is dominating, and something is needed to fix it. And the first answer is grace. In other words, God is about to ask you to do something, but he's not asking you to do it without his power. Remember what Jesus said? This is shocking to most of us. He said, without me, you can do nothing. Whoa, really? Oh. You see, there's two kinds of Christianity. There's mystical Christianity, which says God does everything, I do nothing. There's humanistic Christianity, which says I do everything, God does nothing. Then there's true Christianity where we are workers together with God. And so God's about to ask us to do something about this bitterness brought on by all the junk, comments, hurts, damages, actions of the past that have been done to us by who knows how many others. So he gives grace. Be careful that none of you fails to respond to the grace of God. So what's this grace going to do? It's going to give you the power to eliminate the damage, the depression, the discouragement, the hurt, the damage that other people from your past have brought upon you. Because unless this gets out of the way, we cannot have joy. I've been there. I've been there. It was so bad for me, I thought it was the end. And at 10 to 12 on a Sunday night, I began to read a portion of Scripture, chapter 37, then chapter 36, then chapter 35, of Psalms. I memorized those three chapters that week. And by Friday, the damage was gone. I'm going to show you how in just a moment. So grace comes to give us power. And here is the power that grace gives us. Jesus, speaking here, says to you this: whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted. Grace gives you the power to remit the sins of others against you. Look at the scripture again. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. But watch this. But whosoever sins you retain, they're retained. Watch it now. Let me give you a translation. If you forgive someone's sins, they're gone for good. If you don't forgive sins, what are you going to do with them? So the grace that God gives us is the grace to forgive. To cancel what they did. To make it non-effective, non-influencing. Living Bible, if you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. But if you refuse to forgive them, they are unforgiven. And the problem is we have to live with what people have done, and we haven't remitted it, so it stays in us. And every night you think about it, and every day when you drive you think about it. You rehearse it, you review it. The turmoil, the mental agony of going over and over and over it. And joy is killed. On the other hand, forgiveness defeats the destroyer. Now, when we forgive others, there's another dynamic that occurs. Forgiving others assures us of our own forgiveness with God. Now, this is a seldom talked about truth, but there are certain benefits that you only get from God if you give them to somebody else. For example, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. To get mercy, you got to give mercy. God does not give mercy to unmerciful people. There are certain things that you get from God because you give them to somebody else. So here comes Jesus again. If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. Here's the part that really hurts. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. It is possible to be living in unforgiveness and hardly even know it. Think everything's okay when it's not. So forgiving others, this is the action. This is how you defeat the number two destroyer of bitterness, which leads to anger, which leads to resentment, which leads to wanting to retaliate. And so Jesus says, when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, prayer is affected by whether or not we forgive. In fact, to go over to later in the epistles, a man who is unforgiving, his prayers are hindered. When you stand praying, forgive. This is one of the unspoken secrets of getting answers to prayer. By being a forgiver. Opens up the grace of God in a new dimension. When you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any. That your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. This is really big stuff. Now, genuine forgiveness is without limits or conditions. In other words, it's not a negotiated deal. That's why it's called give, forgive. You give something, you are giving something. Because the tendency is to say, well, if this person would say this, if they would come and ask me to forgive them, so I would forgive them. Or if they did this, if they had a change of heart, I would forgive them. That's not forgiveness at all. That's a negotiated settlement. Forgiveness is something you give to somebody who does not deserve it. So Peter comes along to Jesus and he says, Lord, how many times I got to do this? This guy keeps doing it over and over again. How about I just forgive him 7 times? You know, come to think of it, that's pretty good too. You got somebody that you've forgiven 7 times? That's a pretty good deal. Peter thought it was a good deal. But Jesus, watch it now, said unto him, I say not unto thee 7 times, but until 70 times 7. Now, this is a literary device, by the way. I know you already did the multiplication, didn't you? And it comes to 490. The forgiver would never keep track. The person who doesn't want to forgive, so, well, that's number 7. Now, here's number 8. Now, here's number 9. It doesn't work. It's a literary device that means without end. How many times has somebody done you bad? How many times should you forgive them? Answer, every single time. Why? Because the alternative to forgiveness is bitterness. And now you've got to live with a condition that quenches your joy, destroys your own thinking, leaves you bound to the behavior of somebody else. Until 70 times 7. Forgiveness is treating others the way God treats us. Watch her now. Let all bitterness and wrath, which is acts done in vengeance, right? Could be a cold war, could be whatever. And anger and clamor and evil speaking about the other person be put away from you with all malice, hatred. You know, I don't want to take this scripture off the screen. It's so important. This is God speaking to us. Let bitterness. How much bitterness? All of it. All bitterness. All wrath. all anger, all clamor, all evil speaking be put away with all malice. How do you do that? Next verse. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted. Now, what you need to notice this. Bitterness takes away a tender heart. Makes it hard. Be kind one another, tender-hearted. Look at this. Forgiving one another. Now, watch this now, because this is the critical insight. Forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Forgiveness treats others the way God treats us. In fact, if you go to that 18th chapter of Matthew, Jesus tells a story about this Lord who forgives a guy $50,000. And the guy who gets forgiveness of $50,000 goes out and finds somebody who owes him $50, and he won't pay him $50, and so he throws him into jail. And then the Lord found out about it and brought the guy back in. I forgave you $50,000. You wouldn't forgive $50. And the Lord was wrath. And then what did he do? He rescinded his forgiveness. He took it back. Because, you know, and what's the analogy now? How many things has God forgiven me from? And I refuse to forgive people for a lot less than what God's forgiven me from? Now, it's important in that text to catch a couple of things. I probably should have put it on the screen. He rescinded the forgiveness. You didn't forgive him, so I'm taking back my forgiveness of you. Now, here's a shock. Brace yourself. Threw him into jail. Here's the shock. And Jesus said, so shall my Father do to you if you forgive not men their trespasses from your heart authentically. And he delivered them over to the tormentors. Now, that you need to get that. Because people live in torment because somebody did them bad. No justifying the bad. Not at all. Some of the abuses that people suffer are horrendous, and some of them are even unspeakable. But the torment goes on because we haven't forgiven it. Joy is quenched. Now, this is a biggie. Did that person get away with it? That's why most of us don't want to forgive. Because of bitterness, anger, resentment, and wrath, which is acts of punishment back to them, is we're trying to make them pay for what they did, right? Look at the scripture. Recompense no man evil for evil. Don't do evil to them because they did evil to you. Watch now. If it be possible, as much as lies within you, live peaceably with all men. And now a verse that's so critically important. And before we get into the content of this, I want you to see how God speaks to you. Compassionately, dearly, beloved, dearly beloved. Watch now. Avenge not yourself. Don't do anything back to them just because they have done something to you. Watch it. Rather, next line, watch it. Rather, in other words, instead of avenging yourself, here's what you should do. And this is not easy, perhaps, at first sight, but give place unto wrath. Let them do what they're going to do. They're the ones in trouble, not you. Give place to wrath. Now, here's the reason why you can do this. Are you ready? Here's the reason. Because it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Now, don't take your eyes off the monitor just yet. God says this, vengeance is mine. Mine. Look at what he says. I will repay, saith the Lord. Watch it. I will repay, saith the Lord. Watch it now. I will repay, saith the Lord. I will repay, says the Lord. When we forgive somebody, we think we've given up territory or something, like they're getting away scot-free. God comes along and says, uh-uh, brothers. That's not happening. You forgive him, I'll punish him. I will repay, saith the Lord. Let's look at another verse about this. And shall not God avenge, do the vengeance thing, on his own elect, on you? We which cry unto him day and night. I tell you, look at this. Jesus speaking, he will avenge them speedily. Now watch. Don't miss this. I know I say that quite often because I'm really kind of reiterating what Jesus said. Man shall live by bread alone, but by every word. I don't want you to miss one word of this, right? Watch here now. I'm telling you this. He will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, now watch this. When the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? Who believes this? You see, if you really believe that God will repay, and he says he will, it's easy to forgive because you're just turning this person over to God. You're not going to do anything yourself. You pity the poor guy. He's not getting off. It's just that you are not the one who's supposed to pay back. God is. I told you a few moments ago about a time in my life when it was really serious. I had been done really bad. Emotionally devastating, ministry, everything I thought was the end of the world for me. And at 10 to 12, I told you that I opened the Bible to Psalm 37 and I started to read 37, 36, and 35, and I memorized all three chapters that week. Let me give you a couple of parts out of it. Ready? Fret not thyself because of evildoers, for they shall be cut down as the grass. They shall wither as the green herb. Oh, my. I started at that moment grasped, this person who did me bad is in more trouble with him than they would have been with me. You know, I could take you through phrase after phrase. Let me go to a couple. The hands of the wicked shall be, the arms of the wicked shall be broken. I looked in the column. Their ability to make money shall be taken away from them. And it was then part of this deal was about money. Part of it. And here's God saying in Psalm 37, 36 and 35, you should read them. What happens to people who do wrong? And what happens to them if we let God be the avenger? By the end of that week, having memorized those three chapters and understood the scripture that's in front of us, God will avenge them. I believed it. And do you know what happened? You know what happened? It was really easy to forgive them. I forgave them. It was like the sword was out of my hand. I didn't want to kill them anymore. I didn't want to damage them anymore. I didn't want to. I let it go. I'll tell you what happened. 3 months later, they declared bankruptcy. What? Now watch the scripture again. Will you believe this? When the Son of Man comes, is there anybody, watch this, do you believe God when he says that, Jesus, when he says that God will avenge them speedily? Do you believe that? Then there's no need for retaliation. There's no need for a payback. There's no need for anger. There's no need to be upset now, because you forgive them and forgiveness turns them over to God for punishment. Now the tragedy happens that if we don't do this and we carry on the punishment ourselves in one way or another, then God lets us do it. And this doesn't happen. God does not do this because you're doing it. You usurp the place and role of God. Okay. I will avenge them speedily. Leaving them the punishment up to God. Now, I want you to catch something else here. How will God do that? Now, he has a number of techniques of bringing vengeance. Are you ready? I'm going to show you one of them. Sometimes he just does it. I mean, he just interferes with their life and brings about a destruction. There are other times he uses his agencies to do that. And who are the agencies that God often uses? And it's the civil court. It's the laws of the land. Watch here now. You must know the difference between forgiveness and pardon. We are demanded to forgive people, but we are not qualified to pardon them. Now, there is somebody who can pardon, and that's the President of the United States. We're not authorized to pardon. Pardon requires a legal authority declaring so. I don't have the power to pardon anybody. They are, even though they offended me, I can forgive them, but they are still going to give account to God.
Right.
And they're going to give account to God's representatives, which is the laws of the land. So let me show you this from Scripture. Let every soul be subject, here we go, under the higher powers. There's no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. And he's talking about civil authorities, as you'll see. Whosoever therefore resists the civil authority, resists the power, is resisting the ordinance of God. Look at this. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Watch now. For rulers, civil authorities, are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Will thou then not be afraid of the civil authority, the power? Do that which is good, and the civil authorities will praise you. But watch this now. Watch it now. For he is the minister of God to thee for your good. Now, it's why every time I have a lady sitting in front of me who's been abused, I give her this plain, straight up, unequivocally, I tell her that if that man does whatever to you, you dial 911 every time, all the time. Because in doing that, you are going to God's ministers. You're appealing to the ministers of God for your good. Now watch this. He's the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, you should be afraid, because you've got the keys to the prison, etc. Watch it. And watch this. In the punishment thing, for he is the minister of God. Minister of God. Minister of God. A revenger to execute wrath upon him that does evil. Punishment. Rather, forgiveness leaves the punishment up to God. And remember, you don't have the right to pardon, the power to pardon. You can only forgive. Forgiveness releases that person. You paid the bill. You have been released. You will be released emotionally from the damage that you've just forgiven. You just write it off. It's gone. It's gone. Hallelujah. Now, when God does do the vengeance thing, and he will. Have you got it? And he will. And your enemy is under the thumb of God in whatever way God is doing it to him. Be careful, rejoice not when your enemy falls. And don't let your heart be glad when he stumbles. You ought to pity the poor guy. Watch this now. Because if we start this, okay, it proves we didn't really forgive him. Now, because what will happen is, lest God see it and it displease him, and he, God, turn away his wrath from him, God will stop doing the retaliation, the punishment, the pressure. So be careful. Forgiveness leaves all the punishment up to God. So then what should we then do? My recommendation is that you make a list. And that's not going to be hard, because they're in your mind all the time, right? You're thinking about it all the time. They are irritating you all the time. Make a list of them, one by one. I did this. I'll tell you what I do now, as opposed to what, before I made a list, and I would look at that item and I would cross it out and I would write forgiven. And I put my date on it. And any time it came up after that, I had to remember, hey, I forgave it. So it gets dismissed. Go down your list and forgive. A couple of tips about this. You do not need to tell them that you have forgiven them. In fact, it's probably not a good idea. Because if you go to them and say, I forgave you, they're going to say, for what? Because they don't think they did anything. You don't tell them. This is something you can do that when you forgive them, it will destroy the bitterness and allow the joy of God to be in you, because that stuff's not going to eat your lunch anymore. Make a list. Forgive them. cancel their sin. Commit any punishment to God. And relax. Because forgiveness is the only solution to bitterness. So you were done wrong. Forgive it. You'll get more rest and less time. You'll sleep better. When you're driving down the street, that person who did you bad is not talking to you, sitting on your shoulder, interfering with your thought life. They've been forgiven. One final thought. If you're not sure exactly how to do that, I want to recommend. Oh, I'm afraid I was going to show you this. Let's go back to the diagram. So this is what others have done to us that made us over here, carrying us into the present. But we forgive them. And it's gone. It just disappears. It's not there anymore. It's forgiven. Just like God never brings up your stuff ever again. It's gone. Forgiveness puts it out of commission. Bitterness from what others have done against me is now defeated by my forgiveness of each of them and all of them. Hallelujah. And this is what I was going to tell you before we close. Make sure you understand the seven aspects of genuine forgiveness. If you have more details needed, go to nothingbutthetruth.org. In the little question box, search panel at the top, write the word forgiveness. This 28-minute video will come up. My recommendation is that you watch this 28 minutes and then you rewind and watch the last 12 minutes two or three, four more times. Because the final minutes encapsulate in diagram form the seven aspects. And I'm telling you, this will set you free. This is a way to defeat bitterness, the destroyer of joy, and you will have opportunity for great joy. Will you say amen? Amen. Amen.